This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop here. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Well, and I think the moves they're making to, you know, stop certain practices as president, even though she served as Secretary of State, just feeds into it, backs up the fact that this is inappropriate. Even yesterday, Bill Clinton sent an open letter to Clinton Foundation staff and supporters saying that, touting their work to combat disease and poverty, but formally announcing that if his wife is elected, he will leave the foundation's board and stop fundraising for it. So he knows it's inappropriate.
The question is, will he again?
But it was okay?
Why does he wait 3 months to leave when most people now believe that Hillary Clinton's going to be elected President of the United States?
So it's appropriate now.
She's got like an 82% chance, I think, according to the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it's a going out of business sell. If you want to influence us, you've got a couple of months, 75 days, to give us millions and millions of dollars, because, wow, now we're really going to be powerful and you're really going to want to be our friends.
I go back even further. If it's not okay for the President of the United States to have these relationships through the Clinton Foundation, why is it okay for the Secretary of State? The Clintons were lauded yesterday as falling on their swords, and we're going to walk away from the Clinton Foundation as if it was this grand gesture that they're sacrificing. Well, why didn't they do it when they were Secretary of State?
And
they're doing it now because they've been exposed and people know about all the things that have been going on, and they have to do something.
So let's bring these a couple stories together, which is the story that we learned yesterday, that there's 15,000 of these emails that are now going to be released between now and Election Day. A fundamental question never answered in the course of a year that we've dealt with this email controversy was, among the 30,000 plus emails that Hillary Clinton destroyed because they were personal as opposed to the ones she turned over that were work-related
emails.
Would the question, and I asked this question to the campaign on multiple occasions over the course of the year and never got an answer. We still don't have an answer to it. Did she regard foundation-related emails as personal or not? Mm-hmm. So if it turns out the answer to that question is yes, there could be a lot of email that was destroyed but now may be recovered. Among these 15,000 emails, how many of them are foundation-related?
Yeah.
If she and her lawyers deemed those to be personal as opposed to work-related. Again, the standards by which she judged personal versus work have never really been elucidated.
Right.
And so there's a big question politically. What are we going to learn as these new emails get exposed between now and Election Day about other things with the foundation?
Well, what are you going to learn, and what do you want? You want to learn, Scott. And that's a good point. There is that. Did she, in her own mindset, regard the foundation as personal? Because it's the Clinton Foundation, the Clinton Global Initiative. It wasn't the United States of America. In her own mind, she was separating the Secretary of State duties from her Clinton Foundation duties. So that makes a lot of sense. I mean, that's a great question, a great point that Morning Joe is bringing up here. Again, Hillary and Bill have their own standard. I mean, it's like their own government. Here we are, we're worried about Muslims coming in with Sharia when we got Clinton government. And it's the elites. It's the progressives' government. It's, again, like what we've been saying here, is they have this arrogance about them and this attitude that they are above the law. I mean, theirs is a whole other law. It's like we have We the People law, the peon law. And that's what we have. It's for us peons. The rest of us minions are us inconsequential knaves to the higher calling and service of the progressive elites, because they really believe that they are the saviors of the free world. And if it wasn't for them, we'd be to hell in a handbasket. And all they're trying to do is keep us out of trouble for ourselves and provide for the greater good as they see it. And that's why they need to be reelected and taken care of. That's what this is all about. Well, it's 5 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. Good to have you along with us. We've got more coming up.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
And if it's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be a bottom-up movement at the grassroots level, not top-down. Top-down is what got us into this mess to begin with. You know that. Just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour, welcome back. We have Dr. Michael Ledeen with us. Dr. Ledeen co-authored the book with General Michael Flynn. It's a New York Times best-selling book, Field of Fight, How to Win the War Against Radical Islam and Its Allies. We're going to talk more about that. But I want to first start off with why was our Iranian spy killed by the mullahs? You know, we've heard so little about that, and he's going to unwrap that for us a bit more. Dr. Michael Ledeen, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Thank you. Happy Tuesday.
Yes, it is, isn't it? And thank you for being here with us. Iran has executed the Iranian physicist Shahram Amiri for espionage, supposedly, they say. Iranian officials have offered no details about the charges against Amiri. What do we know, Dr. Ledeen?
Well, we know that when, it's a fascinating story. It's an Alfred Hitchcock story.
Mm-hmm.
He was an Iranian physicist, worked on nuclear programs, vanished from Saudi Arabia in, 2009,
mm-hmm.
Resurfaced in America a year later, saying that he wanted to go back to Iran, at which point the American government put out a story, rather detailed to anyone who would listen, New York Times, Washington Post, AP, etc., saying that this guy had worked for CIA for many years and had provided us with all kinds of useful information. And that he was a free person. He could come and go as he liked. And he went back to Iran. He was given a hero's welcome. He claimed that he'd been kidnapped. And then he disappeared again. And the next we hear of him, he's executed.
Mm-hmm. Well,
So when I saw the story that he had worked, where the American government said that this guy had worked for CIA and was going back to Iran, I said, well, there's an assassination attempt,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, because that's a death sentence from the American government.
Yeah, they put crosshairs all over this guy.
Yeah, right.
So what would we expect? I mean, you say Alfred Hitchcock. I say even Roger Sterling. It's something out of Twilight Zone.
Yeah, right.
Right? I mean, but be that as it may, I mean, this is a real person. And did he offer anything? I mean, was he really an aide as defined and described by the state? And what was the purpose of him being so fluid, having the ability to go freely here in America and around the world, for that matter, you know, from Saudi Arabia to America and everywhere in between, And he goes back, and as you say, they welcome him as a hero. So what did they understand to begin with, and what changed along the way?
Well, they knew by the time he went back, and we said officially that he had been a CIA agent for us working in Iran, and he had defected to the United States and now changed his mind and wanted to go back. They knew. They knew that he'd worked for us, and they knew they were going to kill him, and they just faked all this happiness at his return. Why he wanted to go back, nobody knows.
Mm-hmm.
Did they contact him in this country and say, either you come back or we're going to kill your family?
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking, yes.
Nobody knows.
Mm-hmm. So one of those mysteries that has just vapored into another chapter of the history between the United States and the mullahs, right?
Right.
What is it about the mullahs, Dr. Ladin? I mean, you're a foreign relations expert. What is it that the United States thinks and Barack Obama thinks that he can negotiate with them and there be any soundness in the negotiation, whether it has to do with nuclear weapons or, you know, ransom?
Well, the mystery is, why has Barack Obama wanted a strategic alliance with Iran, with this Iran, which is a monstrous country,
mm-hmm.
and one of the most evil on the face of the earth? Their people hate the regime. The regime tortures and kills their people. When they get a guy, the current president, Rouhani, who is often referred to as a moderate in the press, he has upped the execution rate 50% over a person that everybody hated and thought was a monster, Ahmadinejad. Remember him?
Yes, exactly. Ahmadinejad, yeah.
Right. So Rouhani, everybody likes, but he kills half as many people again as Ahmadinejad did. So why has Obama so desperately looked for a deal with that country? And mind you, it has nothing to do with his experiences with them in office, because he wanted it already during the presidential campaign of 2008. He sent a secret back channel to Tehran during the presidential campaign to tell the mullahs that he was going to win the election and things were going to be great because he really likes them and it's all going to be a whole new relationship.
That is so difficult to square up, but all this has been difficult with this president. I mean, he goes in as a junior senator. He's in the White House. It was all, you know, pretty much accepted that his ignorance of foreign relations and policy was going to be minimal at best. This is why you have Joe Biden come in. And it would appear that from day one, regardless of your perception of Barack Obama's ignorance and lack of experience, he's had his own agenda. And, you know, people want to argue whether he's a Muslim or not. And I said, you know, to me, that's a moot point. I think you can look at the fruit of his policies and the choices that he's made. And he certainly is very pro-Muslim.
Well, he gave that speech in Cairo saying he wanted a whole new relationship with the so-called Muslim world, which really doesn't exist, by the way. But let's let that go for the moment. He is a person who is a product of a generation of Americans that has been taught that most of the problems in the world are our fault and the best way to deal with them is to rein in the United States and make deals with our former enemies.
So it really is that simple, that he's righting all of America's wrongs based on his perception.
Yep.
I guess that's the simple explanation about it. And I know that people are scratching their heads on it, you know, over it and saying, I still don't get it. Well, whether you get it or not, I say don't overanalyze this stuff. Just look at the results. You know, see, the fruit that is growing from this tree that he has planted and has been has been harvesting on our behalf. Thank you very much. We've got more from Dr. Michael Ledeen after the break. Stay with us, America.
This report is brought to you by Staples. The back-to-school season can be stressful for parents and students alike. As the end of the summer approaches, many retailers are already stocking holiday candy and decor, making it difficult to find school supplies. Parents can rely on Staples to have the school supplies their children need in stock throughout the back-to-school season, at the lowest prices guaranteed. Christine Mallon, Vice President of Retail Marketing at Staples, joins us to share some back-to-school advice.
As the start of school approaches, many retailers have moved on and started stocking for the next holiday. At Staples, parents can shop confidently, knowing that we're still in stock on all of the back-to-school essentials they need at the lowest prices guaranteed.
Staples keeps school essentials in stock all season long at the lowest prices. Shop the Less List for School, weekly school steals, and take advantage of the 110% lowest price guarantee to stay on budget. For more, visit staples.com.
Any Joe Schmo knows Geico will work to save you money on car insurance. But since money talks, why not just ask the savings?
That's me, Joe Savings. I'm not literally $1 million, but I feel like it. Why? Because when Joe switched his car insurance at Geico.com, his monthly rate went down and the savings went up. Now he uses the handy Geico mobile app anytime to check out his policy perks. Talk about a win-win and two thumbs up. Man, I wish I had thumbs.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
It's National Make-A-Will Month at LegalZoom.com, so it's time to take care of your will or trust. LegalZoom makes it easy. They're not a law firm, so there's no office visits or paying expensive hourly rates. Instead, you could save over $100 with LegalZoom's will or trust estate plan bundles. And if you don't know whether a will or trust is right for you, don't worry. You'll work with an independent attorney available in 48 states to get advice on what you need. Do the right thing this month at LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of the lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention, prescription antibiotic drug users. Have you or a loved one suffered an aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm after taking the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox? These popular antibiotic drugs have been prescribed more than 80 million times since 2004, and medical studies show an increased risk of the following injuries: aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, and abdominal aortic aneurysm. If you or a loved one used the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox and suffered from aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live. Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Well, however you join us, thank you for coming along. Whether it's online, that's just one of many ways, including 280 affiliates across this country and around the world via shortwave. Great to have you along with us. I'm Bill Martinez. Our conversation with Dr. Michael Ledeen continues. He's the co-author of General Michael Flynn's New York best-selling book, Field of Fight, How to Win the War Against Radical Islam and Its Allies. Let's look at a little background here and kind of set this up for you. 10 years ago, it's kind of hard to imagine it's been that long, but it has been, and it's been a grueling 10 years. We found evidence that Al-Qaeda was far more organized and adept than we had previously given them credit for. It took us nearly that long to locate and execute their leader, Osama bin Laden, and we are far from finished. Al-Qaeda has morphed into a much more dangerous, menacing threat, ISIS. A war is being waged against us by radical Islamists. I mean, to the point now, Dr. Ledeen, that the majority of Americans, near 60%, agree that we are at war with radical Islam. But yet the administration, the Barack Obama administration, has been rather reticent to declare this, have they not?
Right. In fact, until very recently, it seems to be changing, but you couldn't even say radical Islam. Those words were banned. You got censored if you tried to say that.
Well, the target of your book, what you and General Flynn attempted to do here, and I think you accomplished that, was to inform the American people of the grave danger we face. I mean, you've kind of been that lone voice in the desert, you know, yelling out to the American people that we have problems here that are very serious, that we have underestimated, and we're not confronting.
Well, what our book, which is called Field of Fight, says something that that nobody is saying. And that is that we are in a world war, and we are facing an alliance of radical Islamic movements and countries and radical secular movements and countries. So that on the one hand, you've got radical Muslims like Iran, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and so forth, and they are in cahoots with the Putins of this world and North Korea and Cuba and so forth, who are certainly not Muslims, but they are worked together. Just look at Syria, where you have the Iranian and Russian armies working together to save Assad. And so people look at that and they say, well, on the one hand, the Russians, on the other. No, it's an alliance, and it's a global war. And at the moment, we're losing that war. They are advancing on all fronts. So we had better get serious about this.
Well, you and General Flynn point out clearly in the book exactly what you just said, and that is that somehow we think that, or at least his administration thinks and would want to convince us to think that we're better off, you know, trying to be friends with them instead of just, you know, attacking evil with that which they expect to be, we've kind of just given them a pass.
Well, worse, we're cooperating with them. We're now talking to the Russians about joint military operations in Syria, if you can believe that. And all kinds of terrible things are going on in South America. I mean, the state of affairs in Venezuela is just awful. We're doing nothing. We're just letting our enemies organize against us and pick the times, places, and methods by which they are going to come after us and try to destroy us. When the Iranians march in the streets and chant death to America, what do you think they mean?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not just a street festival. That's what they want to do. They want to destroy us.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Ledeen, compare the two candidates here, Hillary versus Donald Trump. Who is the answer, as best you can tell, based on your knowledge of foreign policy and where America stands right now?
Well, there's a lot of talk. Everybody, for some reason, is really excited about Russia right now because they've massed their armies on the Ukrainian border again.
Yeah.
and so forth. But the fact is that that when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, she approved the sale of 20% of American uranium supplies to Putin.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very unlikely that she's going to get tough with these people. And her husband wasn't particularly tough with Iran, nor has she done anything to help the Iranian people fight this regime. Nor has she been particularly outspoken in supporting moderate Sunni Muslims against the radicals. So there's nothing to hope for. Nothing at all to hope for from Hillary. Trump, we just don't know because he has no experience in foreign policy. What we can say is that he has at least some good people around him. He's got General Flynn, who's with him an awful lot of the time and who spoke at the Republican convention. General Flynn was head of the Defense Intelligence Agency. He reformed the American military intelligence system. He was involved in winning the fighting against al-Qaeda in Iraq and against the Taliban in Afghanistan. So if Trump is going to work with people like that, then there's hope.
Well, what we have been hearing lately is that, speaking of intelligence, and the information that was given to the president was that it was quite watered down. Now, the president conveniently now has a little bit of an out and say, okay, I was misinformed. But I don't think that would have happened on General Flynn's watch. Was that part of the reason he was forced out?
Yes. What the president got from DIA under General Flynn was simple, straightforward truth, that we were fighting this war, we were losing it, and we'd better get serious about it. And when General Flynn, under oath, was asked at a congressional hearing whether we were safer than we had been some years before, he said, no, we're not. We're less safe. And so they removed him because the White House didn't want people like that running around.
Yeah. Well, the president's, perception, or at least his narrative to the American people was, we're dealing with a bunch of JVs, and they're on the run. And then we found out later, yes, they're on the run, but not in the direction that we thought.
Right. Well, it's the great mystery of Barack Obama. Why does he want strategic alliances with countries like Iran so badly? And I think, I'm an historian. We'll find this out eventually, but we don't know it now.
Well, being a historian, Dr. Ledeen, I've maintained that there is so much to understand about this administration that we will not find out until, that administration concludes itself because of the media and because of the protection and the covering that this president has had and the lack of, I guess, courage of the media to really go off and tell the story here.
What courage? We don't even know who he studied with in college.
Mm.
We don't even have his college transcript.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of funny. We were talking about this earlier, not you and I, but somebody else, that his way of addressing that, it's now a joke. He just jokes about his own birth certificate and other transcripts and things like that, because I guess if you joke about it, then it just kind of just makes it so passe and so accepted. But as I said, is that, it wasn't like Donald Trump presented his birth certificate or Donald Trump that locked up his transcripts, right?
Well, look at all the human cry about Donald Trump's tax cut. Republicans have to fight every. Obama.
Well, Dr. Michael Ledeen has been our guest in the field of fight. He asserts that we must find a way to not only fight better, but to win.
I had what many would call the Cadillac of insurance plans with my company. It covered everything, and that's what got us started thinking, well, what is everything? Are we indirectly paying for people to use services that we don't believe in or want to be a part of? And MediShare was the perfect answer for that.
I felt such relief switching over to MediShare. I wasn't paying for anything that I didn't believe in. I was actually able to stand up for what I believe in, and I was able to put my money where my faith is.
We're part of this great program, and it really costs us less than insurance.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. For your free information guide, call 855-BIBLE-11. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical health care. Call 855-BIBLE-11. That's 855-BIBLE-11.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Did you know that a dirty CPAP system can make you sick? If you knew what could be growing in your mask and hose, you might not sleep so well. But now, SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of all CPAP germs, and it's completely hands-free. For a limited time, you can try SoClean risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-952-2797.
SoClean changed the CPAP experience for the better. My health has improved. It's simple to use, and I'm not worried about infections.
SoClean destroys CPAP bacteria, viruses, and germs, and it eliminates the daily hassle of washing your system by hand. There's no water, chemicals, or disassembly. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto! Your CPAP system is clean and fresh in minutes. Call SoClean.com to try it risk-free at home for 30 days. This is a limited-time offer, only available by calling 1-800-952-2797. That's 1-800-952-2797.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
I got to tell you, my son and I had a chance to see Eric Clapton live. And when you hear that guitar riff, it just commands the stadium. And we were there, probably about 19,000 people at the Honda Center in Anaheim, California, when he performed there. And it is, without a doubt, very captivating. And you just sense the energy, how it just builds up. And, you know, and that's from Rift 1, let me tell you. The one and only Eric Clapton. Welcome back, America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. I'm Bill Martinez. And it is time for the Good News Girl. Yes, the one and only Samantha Mills Mao, the newlywed. And you can go to our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Look at Sam's Corner, and you can view for yourself all these great stories, heartwarming stories, stories that have gone absolutely viral all over our country and around the world. Sam, how are we doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing this morning, Bill?
Doing terrific. Thank you so much. Hey, your first story is a tip from a woman. A very simple act. She orders a bottle of water that goes viral.
Right.
What is going on?
Okay, so this woman leaves the or orders the cheapest thing on the menu down at Applebee's in Dallas, Texas. And the waiter, she left him a 135,135% tip. And, you know, the average tip in America is like 18-20%. So this is
right. It's
a little bit extraordinary. But, you know, this actually wasn't random. It was for the sweetest reason. This waiter, Casey, 32, had been at a grocery store the day before. And he had seen this older woman, and he had noticed how sad she was. And whenever he noticed this, you know, he tried to cheer her up. Everybody else was kind of ignoring the situation, you know, not ignoring, but just kind of letting this woman pass them by without knowing what was going on. And he ends up offering to pay like $17 for her bill, which she actually didn't need, but it was just a very sweet gesture on his part. Mm-hmm. Well, the reason the woman was so sad, it was the third anniversary of her husband's death. Her daughter came in, and she was the one who ordered the bottle of water. And she's like, my mom didn't need your money, but you know what you did, really? It just made her year. And That's the most I've seen her smile since my dad passed away. So she came in and left a $500 tip for Casey. So what a wonderful example of what goes around comes around, you know. And what a great observation on his part, because I think maybe too often we, you know, you might see somebody and think about maybe how are they feeling, how are they down, but we don't always think about what can we do to fix that.
Exactly.
Or what can we do to help that person? And it was a small gesture, you know, a simple gesture on his part, and it really changed this woman's year, apparently. So,
and that's the thing that we underestimate, is what a blessing that we can be to our fellow humans on this journey that we call life, that we're all going through. And sometimes it's not much, you know, sometimes a hug, sometimes a smile, just sometimes an acknowledgement, a simple acknowledgement. You know, the Bible talks about a word aptly spoken, and that is so profound. And we just underestimate the power of a spoken word or some other form of communication that touches a fellow human being that says, hey, you know, we're in this together. It's going to be okay.
Right.
And what is, how meaningful is something like that, Sam?
You know, I think he's, what, you know, when you hear about everyday heroes, that's kind of like the person, you know, because we always think about, you know, well, what can I do? I'm just one person. How can I change the world? How can I make it better? You know, and not all of us have jobs where, you know, you have doctors who save lives, or nurses, and you have police officers or military, and they do things every day. But, you know, Casey's a waiter, and he's still being a hero in somebody's life. You know, you can, everybody, it doesn't matter, like, what your position is, you can reach out to people and change their world. You know, you brighten people's day every day by coming in and letting them know what's going on. And I think that if we all just make that little effort, we can all be, you know, a hero in somebody's life. So.
And there is some conditioning and understanding that we should have about waiters. I mean, a lot of people who waiter or waitresses, they have a heart for serving people. And you just love, and you're so grateful when you land at their tables, because they're there to make your day. And they do it just so easily and effortlessly. It's wired within them, and they're very unique. And when I run into people like that, we like to, you know, tell the manager, hey, look, give them a Christmas bonus or whatever. You know, that kind of deal. And people kind of laugh about it, but they get it. They get the idea that they're being affirmed, that they're appreciated, that there's, you know, a 20% tip is minor, you know, compared to what they do. Because, I mean, there's nothing like a good waiter or waitress to make that experience and that that food even taste better. Maybe even when it sometimes is not that good, they make up the difference because of who they are, right?
That's so true, and I'll let you in on a secret. I waited tables for over 10 years.
See, that's why I love you. That's why I love you so much, because you have such a servant's heart. See, that's it.
Well, I think that you're right that it makes a difference, somebody's attitude coming up to the table. It changes your day. You know, your meal could be plain. I was even talking about this the other day. You could have a meal that's maybe not so good. I mean, you want the food to be good, but maybe it's not.
Right.
This person comes up to you, and they're just warm, and they have a smile. And, you know, we had a waiter the other day that was very friendly and just kind of made your day like that. It's like, that's amazing how somebody can just turn things around. But, yes, I totally agree.
Without a doubt. Hey, let's talk about this teacher's no homework policy that has gone by. I love this teacher. No homework. Why not?
I know. Well, this is a second grade teacher also down in Texas, actually. And so, you know, everybody may not agree with this policy, but they're second graders. And this teacher had done research over the summer, and she decided, and through her research, it found that there's not necessarily any benefit to assigning homework. And I'm sure it depends on the age group and all that kind of thing. But Miss Brandy Young asked the parents, she sent them a letter. She's like, listen, you know, the only homework the kids will have is the work that's left over from the school day. Instead of having homework every night, what I'm asking you to do is do things that are proven to benefit children in the long run, like eating dinner as a family and getting them to bed early and just spending quality time, like reading together. And, you know, it's just taken off around the internet. And I think I think that what a wonderful suggestion. You know, she didn't just not give homework. She gave kind of a family homework assignment. And
yes,
maybe
exactly.
A lot of parents will take, you know, the time to do this.
Right. What a great idea. What about this extravagant dorm room that has gone viral? What's going on with these college roommates here now?
Okay, everybody should go and check this dorm room out down at Old Miss. So these two college roommates, Abby Bozeman and Lindsay Goodson, they decided to give their old dorm a decorative makeover, and it kind of looks like it would be a room in a palace, and they did it on a budget. You know, they refurbished things, and I'm sure you've seen the picture, and if you look at their beds, their beds are very high up with all the storage underneath, and it's a lot of glitz and glamour and a faux fur rug. And they actually said this was kind of a normal thing down there in Ole Miss. They said their whole dorm building looked like this, but I just think it's really cool to see people, especially young people, really making their budget go as far as possible and really changing the comfort level of where they're living. People should check it out. If you have a chance to check out the picture, maybe you have some kids that are going off, or maybe you're going to be going off to college soon, you know.
Why not? Make the most of it, right? Exactly.
Yes.
Okay, hey, our final story. A woman started a free little pantry, and how did this catch on?
Okay, so she started this. She's seen this free library. I don't know if you've seen them around. It's like, if you have a book, leave a book. If you need a book, take one. Well, she decided to do that, but with, non-perishables. So you have, food and paper towels and all that, and people started doing it all over the country. It's just 24/7. It's a little cabinet out there in your neighborhood, and people who have stuff leave stuff, and if you need anything, whoever you are, you can come and take it. So this is down in Arkansas, and her name is Jessica Bacard, and she just, what a great idea. I actually dreamed about starting a free pantry the other night.
Why not? What a great idea, Jessica. Good idea there. Hey, Sam, let's remind everybody that they can go to BillMartinezLive.com, go to Sam's Corner, and you can see this and all the other viral videos just for you.
ProPure Water Filters, making water great again. Taste and feel the difference with state-of-the-art filter technology. Pro-1 G2.0 and Pro-Max filters are independent lab-tested to NSF standards. Choose from gravity, countertop, pitcher, shower, and inline filtration products. There's a ProPure for you. Buy risk-free today. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-765-1480 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-765-1480.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At Bill Martinez Live, we should change Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to BillMartinezLive.com, Longevity, or call 855-305-8326. That's 855-305-8326.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Fresh every day, 3 hours coming at you from 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. And, oh, yeah, if you happen to be in Alohaville, where I'm at right now, it's very early here. Let me tell you, we're on from 3 to 6 in the morning. Good to have you along with us for the ride. For more information, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. Chris Papps is with us. He's the author of the new book, Devolution. He's a multiple Emmy award-winning investigative reporter and author of the bestseller, Capital Murder, an investigative reporter's hunt for answers in a collapsing city. He currently works at the ABC affiliate in Washington, D.C., WJLA. Chris, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Doing well, Bill. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, great to have you here. You ask a question that has been bantered about from time to time. And, with this country in a free fall that it is, and I'll tell you, the general sentiment that I hear from people as I travel across the country is they are fearful that we are losing this constitutional republic. And you take it to the next level and you say, if we started a new nation tomorrow, what kind of government would we form? And how could we improve upon the current U.S. Constitution? Two very provocative questions here.
Well, I don't think that America is going to collapse tomorrow. But there are issues that this country has where you could see that they could progress and they could grow and they could fester, and they could end up splitting the country apart. And we also have to realize America is not going to last forever. No country does. And the name eventually may stay the same, but the country and the people, the populace and the government are going to change eventually. So is it time that we start having this conversation of, hey, do we start seeing things in our country that can beat us down that path? And when we get there, we need to be ready. What kind of government do we want? And how are we going to govern ourselves? Can we create a more perfect union? And I do believe the U.S. Constitution is the greatest governing document ever written. But it has been amended 27 times. We have changed it. And there's more things that could happen with it to change it to make it better. But that's likely not going to happen in the current political climate. We're just too polarized to agree on anything. So if we get to the point where the country collapses, what kind of government are we going to create? How is it going to be different than what we have now? And how is it going to be better? So in Devolution, we write a constitution. And the idea behind this is to get people talking. Here are some ideas. Do you think this is better than what we have now?
Mm-hmm. Well, Chris, I agree that there have been amendments. I don't have a problem with amendments because that's everybody participating and saying, look, we have a better idea based on the results and experiments that have taken place in the varying states we need to incorporate and embrace certain things. I don't have a problem with that. What I have a problem is the stuff that, two problems, the stuff that happens in between the amendments where people are too aggressive, you know, and you start having governmental edicts or executive orders that are thrust down on we the people. And
sure.
The other thing, more importantly, is that this government and the ruling class has lost sight of what the object is. The object of our Constitution is we the people. And when it's become about we the elites, it's been turned upside down. And this is why the Constitution is a bit in a free fall. And we find ourselves in a chaotic part of history right now.
Well, and that's a perfect transition into one of the main points of the Constitution, in that we limit the elitism. So in this government that is created in devolution in the book, there is no central figurehead. There is no president. There is no prime minister. There is no Fuhrer. There is no Sultan, no king, no queen. There's none of that. There's no czar. That is an idea that is thousands of years old. Like, there's very few things that we do as a society that we did thousands of years ago in society. But one of the things we still do, that we still hold on to, is to have that one central figure that has more power than anybody else in the country. Mm-hmm. We do it in America. It's been a president that has been getting more powerful over the decades, expanding their power beyond what the Constitution may afford. And why are we still doing that? Why do we still hold on to that? So going to your point of having these elites that are controlling us, well, what if we had a constitution where we didn't have these elites? What if we had a constitution where there was no president or prime minister, nobody that can extract more power on the people than somebody else? Is that something we should talk about? I hope so.
Mm-hmm. Well, it hasn't happened since the children of Israel traversed across the desert, has it?
It has not happened in thousands of years. Mm-hmm. And that's the point of this book. That's why I wrote the book. That's why I created the – it is a novel. So the book takes place in a fictional superpower that is going through economic upheaval and the different political factions within the country pit the populace against each other, much like we're seeing now in America, this whole 99% against the 1%. I mean, mm-hmm. What is that if not pitting Americans against Americans? And that's what our politicians are doing. And that is what this book does. It shows how politicians do that. And then at the same time, it allows for people to look at this Constitution and say, hey, what if we had a system that really limited how that could happen? Would this be a better country? Could we create a better country?
Exactly. And contributing to that, Chris, is the hyphenation of America, to where we have all these subgroups now. We're no longer the United States. We're the un-United States. And so we're so bifurcated, all running to the trough in separate segments, because all this money, you know, we're $19 trillion in debt right now, at least the part that people generally want to admit to. We know it's greater than that. But
the
$19 trillion
liabilities are a lot higher. Yeah,
exactly. Over $200 trillion and counting. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that people go, hey, look, if Johnny Neighbor next door is getting his, then I better go run to the trough and make sure I get mine. And somehow we'll work it out in the end somewhere. And, you know, it's like, really? I mean, this is what it's come down to. We're just so self-serving. And we know that what made this country great was when it stepped outside of itself. Now, I believe that's still part of our DNA, and that still makes us exceptional, which for some people, even here in the United States and some professors in the higher institutions of learning, it galls them. But, you know, I don't know what other word to call it. I mean, if you work hard, you're diligent about it, you're going to get some incredible results. I have to chuckle a little bit. I don't know if you've seen that TV ad. I think it's Samsung, and I can't remember the actor that does it. He comes on with an accent talking about the varying things that America has done, and, you know, like, after all, you know, you've started a country and you've done all these things, and now he's become, you know, part of the American landscape and joined in. But after everything is all said and done, you have to evaluate what this country has done. I mean, we have a proven track record here, don't we?
Of course we have a proven track record. And you look at what has worked. Right? So we can look back over the past 240 years of American society, and we can look at, okay, well, what has worked? And then we can look at what has not worked. And then we can expand that to other nations. So we can look at, okay, well, what made the Romans great and what led to their downfall? What made the Greeks great? What led to their downfall? How about the Ottoman Empire, one of the greatest superpowers of its day, the USSR? So in devolution, that's what we do. We, again, within the context of a novel, we look at these nations and we say, okay, well, what made the Ottoman Empire the most powerful nation of its day? And then why is it no longer here? What did they do wrong? And what they did wrong is one of the things that America is doing wrong now. So part of what made the Ottoman Empire so powerful was this inclusion. They did not limit the religious aspects of their society. So people from around the world in, you know, the thousands, 1200s, 1300s, they were going to the Ottoman Empire because that was a place where they could worship freely, and they could be included in this society. So they attracted some of the greatest talent in the world. And then what eventually led to their downfall was that they created an elite class of people. And the elite class of people was not willing to embrace the Industrial Revolution. They were not willing to embrace new technologies. You know why? Because if you start giving power to the rest of the people in the country, the ruling elite becomes less powerful. So they didn't want to chance their losing their power. So what they did was they blocked off the Ottoman Empire from the rest of the world. And when World War One hit, they were not prepared to fight the mechanized war that the rest of Europe was fighting, and they got crushed, and now they no longer exist. So they became powerful because they were willing to accept other people, and they became weaker, and they dissolved because their ruling elite class was not willing to embrace technology because they didn't want to sacrifice their own power within the country. Do we see that in America? Do we in any way see that Washington is gaining more power? The presidency is getting stronger? Now, again, I'm not saying that we're going to dissolve tomorrow or next month, but do we see this happening to a certain degree here? And should we think about trying to stop it before it gets worse?
Well, less than 60 seconds here, Chris. Trump versus Hillary, what do you see?
I see it probably tightening. I see this being a very close race because these are two people that the American electorate don't necessarily like. And it's going to be bouncing back and forth. Hillary is a remarkably flawed candidate. And then you have Donald Trump that keeps falling into these political traps because he doesn't have a lot of political experience. And he doesn't really understand the process. So it's going to be interesting moving forward. And I'm just going to hope the American people make the right decision. But in the meantime, devolution, pick up a copy. It's priced low to get people talking about this idea. What kind of government do we want? How can we make it better? How can we live better lives?
Well, Chris, some great ideas here in Devolution. He is the author of the book linked at our website. Thank you so much, Chris.
Introducing the fastest growing digital currency company in the world, OneLight. With over 2.1 million members, OneCoin is becoming the most powerful force in digital currency. It reached over $1 billion in revenue in its first year. No other company has accomplished such an impressive feat. Now you can achieve financial independence with the strength of OneLight. Find out how to build your financial dreams. 877-933-4747. 877-933-4747. Dedicated to helping you create financial abundance.
Do you ever feel like you're being watched? Like someone or some company is tracking your every move online? I know I do. That's why I trust Private Internet Access VPN to keep me safe when I'm online. I use it to encrypt my traffic and use an anonymous IP address. Private Internet Access keeps your internet traffic safe from unwanted eyes so you can finally feel safe. $40 a year for peace of mind is a no-brainer. Sign up today at PrivateInternetAccess.com. Once again, that's PrivateInternetAccess.com.